This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellows with monkey sounds in there called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Hey, happy Friday! Danny and Dusty with you. How's everybody doing this fabulous Friday?
Oh, we're basketballing, baby.
Basketballing so hard. There's a lot of really good games today.
So much good basketball already. I love it.
Already?
I love it.
Okay. All right.
I mean, we're at noon, and we've got, you know, tight games here in Auburn, Ole Miss. You've got Wichita State, Memphis. Wisconsin, UCLA is not going to be close.
See, Danny right now is that Dave Chappelle meme gif where he's just scratching his thumb. Y'all got any more of that college basketball? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because that Wichita State-Memphis game is what everybody is clamoring over. Penny Hardaway.
Look, man, give me good basketball. Give me good basketball. I'm in.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah, my wife's out of town and good no Blazers game last night. So I was Will Ferrell. I don't know what to do with my hands. All day yesterday. I had no
whatever you want.
Yeah, and it was so weird.
I don't want to go there.
You want. I don't either. No. I think a lot of people are just like, yeah, I think we have a good, well, it's very Will Ferrell. Yeah. Just in your whitey tighties, just walking around and that's it.
I wish I had a drum set still.
Why are you all sweaty? Been watching Cops.
Okay.
I am soft launching getting a drum set again, and my wife is like, hmm.
I agree with that. I agree with your wife on this one.
Yeah.
I have a soundproof studio.
You think?
That is a detached building. It is not attached to my house.
Until you're playing drums in there.
This is also a soundproof studio, and I hear what goes on outside.
Yeah. We hear a lot. This is a legitimate professional soundproof walls. You can hear still what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can still hear that.
Yeah.
You know? You're still going to do it, aren't you?
Yeah,
you're still going to do it.
I've played drums for like 25 years, and I haven't had a kit now for what, four or five years. I don't like it.
But why?
I love it.
You just want to play the drums.
I just want to look. If I won the lottery today, one of the first things I would do would, like, whatever house I got, I would build a massive music studio.
Yeah, that's something that does not. I'm just not musically inclined. I never have been.
Yeah.
That just doesn't I my whole thing is, but why?
But why?
But yeah. why? Mm-hmm. But why? For your one-man band? Are you going to form a band?
I mean, I probably would.
Are you?
I'd probably go on the road.
You play?
I'd go full Dolan.
No, I don't think you're going on the road. I could see Danny playing in a band that.
Oh, Danny in a band. Yeah, go down, play at Wanker's Corner.
Yeah, yeah.
I did the cover band thing when I was in the Air Force.
See, this is all making sense now. What bands were you covering?
Oh, just a lot of different rock bands. It was you know, it's kind of whatever.
All right.
We throw some freaking Creed in there, some Seven Dust, some oldies, some new stuff. But yeah. It was what, five of us that, you know, we just all jammed together.
What was your cover band name?
We literally cannot say them on air. We changed them every time we played at a different place.
And they were all inappropriate.
Oh, God, yes.
That's great for brand recognition, too.
Well, here's the thing.
Well, actually,
we didn't disclose it, and if you don't disclose something that earns you income in the military, you get in trouble.
Mm.
So
okay.
We just, yeah.
I mean, the flip side of that is that, you know, there could be people who recognize the band, and they're like, I don't want to see that again. But then they walk in, they're like, wait a minute.
Gotcha.
I've seen this. No. This is not Danny's Grundle. No. It is.
Hey, I know that, dude.
I've seen these guys before. The drummer got so drunk he fell off his chair last week. I've seen him before.
That happens.
Was the chair in a helicopter?
Yeah.
He threw his drumstick at me.
What's funny is I didn't actually play drums then. I wasn't actually our drummer then.
What were you?
I was lead guitar and then singer.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. We got our own little Dave Grohl over here.
Yeah. Mm. Sing higher for me.
Not a chance.
Come on. No. You said you sang Creed.
Nope. You got it. Well. Get a
one more take you higher.
You got the right idea.
Let's go then.
See, you're doing it too far back. It's more in the front.
Yeah.
Come on. You take me higher?
There we go.
Dude, we need to have you play. You need to sound the horn, get out the conch shell, anchorman this thing, reassemble the band, and you need to sing at the fan golf classic year.
So we're having a rap party for the TV show, and we're doing it at a karaoke bar, and it's going to get very bad.
All right.
So I'll get a little warm-up then.
I like this.
It's funny, my 13-year-old told us she wants to learn how to play the drums or the guitar. And so we were like, okay, guitar it is.
Oh, dude, I got my niece a guitar for her 8th birthday, and my sister looked at me and went, I hate you so much.
Nah, that's not that bad. Drums are the worst.
I got her
dude.
A ukulele last year.
We got my nephew drums years ago. And sister tried to give them to us. I was like, not a chance.
Here's what you do. When I first got my kit, I was 10, 11 years old. You get the pads, not the electric pads, because those are weird. But you get the big foam pads for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes so much sound out of it. Like, it's really not that loud.
Yeah. Take your word for it. My kids won't play the drums.
We're
going through hot cross buns right now. It's recorder time.
Oh, God.
We got the recorder going. Yep. We got the recorder for music class, and my daughter has been playing the recorder. Can't wait for the month to be over.
What would you rather?
She's doing great, though.
What would you rather have her stick with, the recorder or the violin?
My sister played the violin, and my parents made her practice in the garage.
I don't think there's an instrument that sounds worse starting than the violin. It sounds like you're skinning a cat.
Yeah.
It is
true.
Just horrendous.
It ain't good.
I played violin for 4 years. It's the one thing I wish I would have stayed with.
Really?
Yeah, that's the one instrument that I played that I was like, I probably should have stayed with that. It's just a lot of music theory and stuff that kind of comes off of that that's useful.
Yeah.
My brother played the violin for like a year.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. I was a saxophone kid in sixth grade.
I did sax for 4 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Drums, sax, violin, piano, guitar. What am I missing here? Clarinet. And I'm missing one. I'll think of it. Whatever.
My dad's old sax that he used when he was that age. So like, you know, late 50s, early 60s.
And that was sax that you used, right?
Sax. Yes, sax.
Okay.
Nope.
Definitely don't want to use your dad's sax.
This is like, I'm none of it. Play the piano. We had a piano.
Piano, man, dude, piano's like, it's one of the best things you can play. Because everything goes off of a piano.
I quit piano lessons after Mary Had a Little Lamb. It was like, deuces. I'm out.
What's weird is the first
full song.
That was
about 3 months.
I learned how to play the Hill Street Blues theme on my saxophone.
See, now that makes it all worthwhile.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. Did that at a recital.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first thing I ever learned how to play on
what were you
piano
dressed
was...
What were you dressed in? How are you dressed for that?
I'm going to guess probably like a polo shirt and maybe some parachute pants, some jeans, I'm guessing. Well, I don't think I was quite at the spiky hair level yet. I think I was still bowl cut, probably.
Okay.
Ooh, there you go.
I was thinking of, like, you had a blazer with the sleeves rolled up and, like... You know what I'm saying?
It may have been a full-on button-down shirt, but I don't think I went blazer at that point.
That would have been great. Yeah. Little Rust with his saxophone sleeves rolled up on the blazer, sitting there.
Yeah,
you know, Hill Street Bluesing it. That's a visual,
right?
I like that.
First song I ever learned to play on the piano was the Beverly Hills Cop theme song.
That was the first song?
Mm-hmm. The first full song that I learned how to play. And
little Axel F.
And little do-do-do-do-do.
Harold Faltermeyer, yeah. I believe.
That's right.
Same guy as Fletch.
I had a... they did a lot in that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, those 80s synthesizer moments were...
He was like the Danny Elfman of the time.
Yes. Or Alan Silvestri, if you will. But the next song I learned how to play was... the main song to Beauty and the Beast. And I had an interesting piano teacher. And I could still play them both from memory because they were beat into my head of like some sort of like conditioning.
Huh.
Very strange.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Let's talk of music.
There you go.
Harold Faltermeyer, by the way. Fletch, Beverly Hills Cop, Top Gun.
Oh.
Top Gun theme
Daddy,
song.
That is a hell of a trio right there.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. not Danger Zone.
No, that's Kenny Loggins.
That's Kenny Loggins. That's what I'm saying. Like, so, you know, yeah.
Also, Tango and Cash.
Ooh.
Right?
Damn.
And Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, they brought him back.
They dusted him off.
Along with Hans Zimmer and Lady Gaga. Damn. Harold Faltermeyer. A name we all should know more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, under the radar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ooh, The Running Man, too. What?
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Good old Dick Dawson as the game show host.
Yeah, man. Dude, he did just banger after bangers. I mean, then he had, like, Jack Orlando. I don't even know what that is.
I got nothing.
I bet soundtrack's awesome. All right, let's sport. Ooh, we have a professional violinist listening. I agree. It's the hardest system to start on kids. The Japanese have a system that starts students when they're 2 years old, probably before their ears are fully developed. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. That is crazy. Huh. There are businesses downtown that pipe in classical music to keep the homeless away. I did not know that.
Wait, so the Japanese are teaching their 2-year-olds to play the violin. Meanwhile, mine was rubbing her poop on the wall.
It's called a finger painter.
Yeah, it's an artiste.
That's in the arts.
It's like you have no idea how many nail holes in our walls are filled by poop and not spackle.
What's that smell?
Resale value on that home is going to be amazing.
No matter what we do,
another fresh coat of paint over that.
Yeah, you can't seem to get this weird funk out of the wall. I don't know what it is.
Wow. They'll start them young in Japan.
I mean, my wife and I we've talked about this because she's not musically inclined at all, and she's like, "What do you think we should do?" I'm like, "We should have our kids start an instrument like 3-4 years old, like incredibly early. Because if you do start it early, it's not just about the instrument; it's a development thing. Like, if you're going to learn a language and, like, learn, like, Latin roots or something along those lines, if you do that, there's a bunch of studies out there that show that if you start learning, like, advanced math young, you're more likely to be more successful with it because you're more likely to understand those kind of principles if you do them way earlier.
Well, even learning those instruments at such a young age, it helps develop, like, with your manual dexterity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and pattern recognition and things
fine
like that.
Fine motor.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And well, then you go to band camp, and then you do weird stuff.
No. No, you can go to basketball camp.
Like what? Danny?
Yeah,
Danny. Do you have an example?
Yeah, Danny.
Probably a lot of flautists out there.
Do you do drugs, Danny?
Mm.
All right, coming up on today's program, it's Cooper Cup Day, apparently. We're going to find out where Cooper Cup is going. It's down to two, and one team apparently is out already. So we got that going for us.
There was one.
I don't know if that is much of a decision that we're making.
Highlander?
Steph hit the 4,000th three-pointer of his career. Is he responsible for changing the game more than any other player? Think of Steph's impact. And what players would fall into that category. But where we got to start, the Big Ten tournament, chalk, chalk, chalk. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Ten's number one overall seed, the Michigan State Spartans, sent the Oregon Ducks packing in Indianapolis this morning. 74-64, as heard right here on the Fan.
Indeed.
Sparty rolls, the number 7 team in the country, looking like they're going to be a 2 seed in the tourney, but could they be a team that moves into the 1 line due to the injury to Cooper Flagg?
Indeed.
What is going to happen? That Michigan State team, all season long, they've been really damn good.
They're just methodical, and the big part of that is that Jace Richardson, who... wasn't great out of the gate, has become great. He has launched himself into a firm lottery position. For those that don't know, Jace Richardson, son of Jason Richardson, former NBA player for the Suns and Warriors, very explosive athlete. His son is a little bit smaller, not quite as bouncy as dad. Dad, I think, had a 47-inch vertical, if I remember right. He was a dunking monster. But he has become electric off the bounce on his jumper. And it looks so pretty because he's left-handed. It's just fun to watch him play. But as he has started to figure this out, it's Izzo's got a group again. That's really what this comes down to.
That team has every marker of a Tom Izzo team that is a Final Four team or an Elite Eight team. Teams that make the deep runs. They're balanced offensively. They don't rely on one guy to score. They don't need to rely on one guy to score. They are suffocating defensively, mm-hmm. physical as hell, and they just kind of put you in the blender for 40 minutes. And that is so hard to do, and so few coaches can get a team to collectively buy in and do that. But this Michigan State team, it looks like that's who they are. And that's a scary team. In the regular season, scary team come tournament time. But oftentimes what we see is that those types of teams, a la Tom Thibodeau coach teams, mm-hmm. they run out of gas. And will this Michigan State team run out of gas? That's going to be the big question. But they do play a deeper rotation than a lot of the teams that do this. Because the teams that like to play this way in this style, they'll only play like seven guys. And they're going to say, we're going to run our guys into the ground. Today, you saw 10 guys play for Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who they are, man.
Yeah, and there's something else that kind of comes along with this. Jeremy Fears, not to be confused with Jeremiah Fears, who is at Oklahoma and will be a lottery pick point guard. But Jeremy Fears is a sophomore point guard for them, and there's some real floor general stuff to him. I knew he was still right around there. He's fallen off ever so slightly. He's no longer top five in the nation in assist rate. He's seventh.
Mm.
He is a guy. He is basically a 40% assist rate. Mm. Like he is. When you look at college basketball teams, Purdue's Braden Smith won the Big Ten Player of the Year. He's number one in the nation in assist rate. Like it, when you have these guys, when you talk about markers for teams that can make runs, upperclassmen, 3-point shooting, point guard play, rebounding. And when you kind of highlight those, you look at Purdue, Braden Smith, Mo Odom is second in NCAA basketball in assist rate. And again, keep kind of one of those guys in your head. Ryan Nemhard is fifth at Gonzaga. Zakai Ziegler at Tennessee is sixth. Like, in Michigan State, when Tom Izzo has one of those kind of point guards, you kind of start going back to the Mateen Cleaves era, yep. And you're like, oh, yeah, they do pretty good with those types. And now he's got a backcourt between him and Jace Richardson, who is incredibly electric. And unfortunately for the Ducks, they ran into a Michigan State team that is, like you said, incredibly aggressive defensively. They get after you. And Jackson Selsted had a bad day. Biddle was able to control and be incredibly dominant, but nobody else in the perimeter could get going.
I think that loss is, we talked about this yesterday, losing a game before the tournament, Oregon had won 8 in a row. Mm-hmm. That's a heater that the Ducks were on. You cool off, get to regroup, and stay a little bit more fresh, and then you got the tourney. And they have the markers of team that will play really tough in the tournament. Final 5 minutes of the half, final 5 minutes of the game, that's where they thrive. And if Shellstad, stays cold, that'll be a problem.
Yeah, that's
the reality,
the one
is he hasn't.
The kind of bugaboo for Oregon is there is a little mild yep. streakiness to their 3-point shooting, and if because they aren't a great
mildness, that's very light. Putting that,
yeah. Well, I would say over the last 15 games, they've been significantly more consistent from three mm-hmm. than prior to that because it was. Ugh.
I think I saw somebody say that Michigan was the 339th ranked 3-point shooting team in the country.
Michigan or Michigan State?
Michigan State.
There's some volatility to them for sure, and you're really not. You don't really have anybody outside of Jace Richardson who's going to get them up in volume.
And they came out today and shot 46.7%.
But again, it was only 15 attempts. That's the thing. Like, but the difference there is the 29 free throws. They doubled up Oregon from the line.
They're so physical.
They just get downhill and yeah. they've got real dudes.
Something to keep an eye on though. as it pertains to Oregon now being bounced out of the Big Ten tournament and where their seeding is going to be. Oregon may be one of the teams that gets bounced a line up or down based on how far BYU goes. Okay. BYU won yesterday in the Big 12 tournament. They play number two, Houston. Okay. The problem with BYU is that they cannot play on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this before that teams will get bumped up or down a line to try and get BYU on a Thursday, Saturday.
Yep.
And so that is like one of those, just play on Sundays, yeah, right? But obviously you're not going to tell the Mormon church no on that one. Kind of a big one.
Yeah.
So Oregon's line could be affected based on how far BYU goes, because if they get to the point where they are a four seed, there could be a team that gets bumped down, and Oregon could get their seeding a little bit wonky there based on what happens with BYU.
Right now,
not saying that it would, but there's a possibility, because in almost everywhere you look, they're both either fours or five seeds.
Right now, Lenardi has them as a five seed, and here's what would be great for them in this instance. They would be in the South region, but they would open up in Seattle.
Yeah.
So they basically have a quasi-home game.
Yeah. And that's what they try to make you regionalized. And the other Seattle, I think the Seattle region, I was looking at this the other day.
Oregon, Arizona.
Lenardi had it. It would be Oregon, UC San Diego, which is that's actually a really fun team if you haven't been following along. Arizona, Lipscomb, Ole Miss, Liberty, Purdue, and Akron would all be coming out west. So that would be the Seattle pod.
That's a pretty good group. It's a pretty good group.
Yeah. There's going to be some really good teams up there if that is, in fact, where the Ducks end up falling. I mean, you probably have a lot of Husky fans that are just going to go and boo Oregon just because.
Yeah.
But that's what you sign up for.
Sure.
Huh? They're not going to be playing in the tournament, so they got to have something to do. They were bad this year. So everything in the Big Ten tournament, though, to this point, has been straight chalk. That could be changing, though, as the fifth-seeded Wisconsin Badgers have a lead over the four-seed UCLA Bruins right now.
Yeah, just going to sneak right past you here. Oh.
What?
Just going to sneak right past you here.
Oh, don't you know?
Oh.
Excuse me there.
Yeah.
Oh, didn't mean to ruffle your feathers there.
Mm.
But 1 through 8 all advance to the quarterfinals. One beats the 8 seed in Oregon today. So all chalk so far in the Big Ten tournament.
Oh, we have surrender Cobras. We have real worry going on here as Wichita State has closed the gap now. It's 3-point game with Memphis with 26 seconds to go.
So go Shockers, huh?
Like I told you, man, this was shaping up to be a good game.
Go Shockers. All right, 503-864-6326. That be the Fan text line. Give us a text. Get your voice heard right here on 1080 The Fan. We had some beef yesterday between the newest Seahawk and a former teammate of his. Can everybody be wrong?
Mm-hmm.
But also everybody be right as well? Yeah, we'll get to that after Russ with SportsCenter. We got some bickering going on here between, Danny and Russ during the break, but also two former teammates, DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, two former Cowboys. I don't think this one is.
No.
We'll get to you two in a minute. Okay.
That one's all love.
We'll get to that one in a minute. That does need to be discussed. But DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, former teammates in the Big D, they traded barbs via social media after DeMarcus Lawrence, the newest Seahawk, did a short video with Hawks blogger on social medias, and he had this to say.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there, but, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there, so.
Hey-o! Now he's in Seattle. That led to an exchange on Twitter where Micah Parsons, who, I mean, that man is like he's like a spiritual deity on social media. He's like always present.
Yeah.
He's always around on social media. I don't know how he finds the time to do this.
I'm sure people send stuff to him, but beyond that, when you're just waiting around to sign your contract, you got time.
Yep. He responded to that with a quote tweet that said, "This is what rejection and envy look like. This some clown bleep doo-doo. Some clown doo-doo." To which DeMarcus Lawrence said, "No, no, 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 no. Calling me a clown won't change the fact I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left."
Yikes, dog.
Girl, you something else.
Yikes. Holy smokes. Gathering those two don't like each other. Is that fair?
Sure.
Yeah.
It is undeniable, which means it can't be denied.
They don't think they got along too well together.
Look, man, there's plenty of this stuff in locker rooms. Not everybody loves each other, especially when you're talking about in the NFL. There's just so many more guys and so many more personalities and so much more stuff. And I'm in NBA locker rooms all the time. I've been lucky the last couple of years in Portland that everybody pretty much vibe with each other. Now, Covington and CJ might have killed each other, or were about to kill each other at one point in time, but that's the last time something got real sideways.
That's the last time the Blazers were good.
Yeah. But, I mean, they've prioritized, like, making sure they got good dudes that are, you know, on the most part, they're good dudes.
Yeah.
Now, they probably need a little introduction of some volatility in that locker room.
Everybody needs a little crazy.
You just need to have the right kind of crazy that meshes well. But this is the kind of thing where this almost feels like this is something that's been brewing for a while. This doesn't seem like...
No.
You know what I mean? You know, if Lawrence says this on the way out, it's like, yeah, dude, we all know it. And it's water off a duck's back. But this... Parsons responding publicly makes me think that there's more to this.
No, I think it just might be who Micah Parsons is. Like, he's just a social media lives on there. Instead of shooting a text to him, he just said, "No, I'll do it here."
Yeah.
And knowing that he would see it and probably get a response out of it. I found this to be both of these guys can be right and wrong at the same time. You know, like DeMarcus Lawrence is right.
That team's nowhere close to a Super Bowl, not even close to the playoffs.
And, you know, he left because he was like, we don't have a shot to win a Super Bowl. I'm out. You're totally right. They're not winning a Super Bowl in Dallas anytime soon.
Neither are the Seahawks.
But that is where he's also wrong. He is totally wrong in that. That's why he went to Seattle. Seattle isn't close to winning a Super Bowl.
No, you went there because they gave you the money that Dallas, like, literally could not give you because they have no money to give you.
Yeah.
Which I don't begrudge you, but just say you wanted the whole Myles Garrett thing. I want to go win a Super Bowl. I want to go where I can compete. I want to go where I can win. I mean, everybody has for everybody who fights back against that, it's like, oh, he said that, blah, 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 blah. Everybody has a price. If you're going to get paid as the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, look, I've had these discussions with professional athletes that when you have these earning windows, very, 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 very few people are going to take less than the max amount of money they can get because it's gone like that. And it was like, well, once you get $25 million, how much more do you need? Think about your job. If somebody offered you more money to go somewhere else and the money was crazy, wouldn't you go do it no matter how much you loved your job? Most of you, the answer is yes. And are you going to take less so that your company can be better because you get to work with your friends? There's a few of you that will say yes. But the whole idea of like...
I think professional sports are different, though, in that...
They are. They are. I'm not making a one-to-one comparison. No.
But if you win a championship, like, you're not winning a championship at your job.
No.
Right?
They're not
like,
one-to-one.
But if you win a championship, you're earning... potential goes up exponentially.
It can, depending on where you are in your career, certainly. If you're an older guy, Lawrence is, what, 33?
Martellus Bennett said it, man. He said it best. He goes, when he won a Super Bowl with the New England Patriots, he said, dude, you get a ring, you get paid. And he goes, that's why I came here. And he played on the cheap, and he won a Super Bowl, and he left, and he got a lot of money to leave. Like,
If you get the money without getting the ring, that's also a pathway.
Yeah.
Which is what Myles Garrett and Lawrence, to a lesser extent, have done.
That's not what Myles Garrett said today. Myles Garrett did not. He said, no, He is all about winning. Mm-hmm. It's not about the money with him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You were just seeking a trade, and then you took $40 million a year guaranteed.
Yeah, because that's going to make him win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. He's winning, all right.
That'll do it.
He's winning.
That'll do it.
In the bank account.
But also, in this Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence conversation, Micah Parsons also wrong in that this is what rejection and envy look like. I don't think he is envious of the situation Dallas is in. I don't think anybody in football is envious of the situation Dallas is in
right
now.
I think maybe that's all just projection.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe, and that's why I'm saying.
And so both of these guys are completely wrong.
I think that it might be more than just this comment, but I think that there's probably a little bit of an outstanding beef here that maybe there were some people in that locker room that felt like Micah wanting all this money on top of CD, on top of Dak, is part of the reason why that they couldn't go get it. And he and Micah probably feels a certain sort of way about it of like, well, I earned the X, and he did. And they'll,
Micah Parsons deserves it more than Dak Prescott.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. But I think that
when even Josh Allen came out and said, hey, will me taking all this extra money, you know, hurt us and getting other guys? And so that's why he said, hey, I'm not concerned about beating Dak's, you know, average.
Mm-hmm. Just the guaranteed money.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I'll only take $250 million yeah. guaranteed. All right? Just $250 million. That's all I'm taking, though.
No big deal.
He's still, what, $5 million a year less on average?
Yeah, on average. Yeah. 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 But look, I'm drawing the line at $250 million, yeah. guys. Okay? That's it.
I'll take one for the team at a quarter bill.
I'll take a little haircut.
You know?
$250 billion.
Do you guys know what that money, $250 million in Buffalo, doesn't go the same as it does? Oh, wait. It does. More so than anywhere else in the NFL, with exception of maybe Green Bay.
Yeah, man. You probably live like a god out there.
Dude, he can convert like a 20,000 square foot old steel mill into a mansion.
Yeah.
Just buy the neighboring town and call it Josh Allenville.
Ooh. Ooh, that is true. Upstate New York probably does have an Allenville, or Western New York has an Allenville. There's an Allenville.
Josh Allentown, since they're close to Pennsylvania.
That kind of rolls off the tongue.
Allenapolis.
No, I mean just the first and last.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allenville.
Mm-hmm.
All one word.
I'm sure Billy Joel would love it if there was a Josh Allentown in New York.
Mm.
He had a song called Allentown, but yeah.
I gave you a little.
It's okay. You went more of the deep cuts, but it plays
deep.
On a Yacht Rock Friday.
Yacht Rock Friday.
Allowed.
It all plays.
Allowed. I like this bickering, though. It's what we.
Jerry Dallas.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you wonder why they're not going to win a Super Bowl in Dallas. This orbit of them is why.
It's not like we traded Luka.
Yeah. That would be the greatest. Is if the next move that Jerry Jones makes is just like, it's not Luka. All right? What do you want us to do? God. Or he's going to, at some point, mark my words, Jerry Jones will justify the salary cap hell, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott's contract that kind of got them jump-started this situation that they're in right now, or the Dak contract. He will say those two guys, one of them was just as beloved as Luka Doncic, and he didn't want to have that on his conscience, is that Dallas Cowboys fans would have been devastated without either one of those guys. When reality is, I think all Cowboys fans are like, no, man. No,
it's all good.
Neither one of those guys is Luka Doncic. Neither one. They're not even close. No. You could combine their skill sets together, and they're still not as valuable as Luka.
It would be like the inverse of... It would be the Cowboys trading for Herschel Walker instead of trading away Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
That's the closest comparison you can make in that world as it pertains to the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah.
An older, past his prime, over the hill, but still very good player in Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
And then assets that became Irvin, Aikman, and Smith.
Oof. Way to go, Cowboys.
Eesh.
I'm glad to... I'm picking up what DeMarcus Lawrence is putting down here. And as this texture points out on the fan text line, they don't have an offense, but the Hawks D is going to be legit. They will be. They'll be good.
They'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Under Kings. They're going to hit the unders. Who knows, though? It's Cooper Cup Day. They very well could get Cooper Cup. All right. Now to your two beefing. Like, you guys are DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons over here. All right? Why Danny's panties got in a wad over something Russ said. Next, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. I was tired of my lady. All right. Last break, Danny and Russ were over here yelling at each other.
To be fair, it's mostly me just yelling at Russ.
Yeah. Because the YouTube chat where I did tweet, and I think it is accurate for today, I said YouTube is where it gets weird on a Friday. It got weird, and it is getting weird on a Friday. Kirk on the YouTube, he said, Blazers finish eighth worst in awesome season, and Mark Stein reports Blazers' interest in Chauncey long-term. Rust asked the question, hey, is that real?
It's real in this. The Blazers' interest in the long term is, it's not an accurate portrayal of the report from Mark Stein.
Mm-hmm.
The report from Mark Stein is that there are questions around the NBA is, would the Blazers be interested in Chauncey Billups long term? And the answer is maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
And Rust, make the noise that you made, because you didn't say a word. Make the noise that you made when Danny said that.
I forget what it was, but it was something probably along the lines of...
That's it. That was it right there. Yeah. You made that noise, and then Danny lost his ass on Rust.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt attacked. And thank God there's glass in between us here.
And here's why. I do not think Chauncey is... I have literally told Chauncey to his face, I don't think you're the best coach in the league. And there's still some things that you do that I disagree with.
What a bold claim.
No, but I mean, like... But like I go, look, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm like,
I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
what you're saying.
I go, but you've improved and these guys have bought in.
Yeah.
Like,
that is 100% true, and that's something that...
It's not something every coach in the league can do. It's a real thing.
There's a lot that the fans have said about Chauncey Billups, and a lot of it has been fair, but some of it has been unfair because the context is lacking so much.
They're still talking about year one and two, Chauncey. It's a difference.
Well, there's so much context that is lacking because they gave Chauncey Billups the job with Damian Lillard as his star player. That was his first time ever being a head coach. Mm-hmm. Then they said, okay, we are handing you this loaded gun. Right before his first season, they said, we're going to take the clip out.
Yeah. Well, Neil gets fired.
You have no bullets to fire this gun with because they stripped it down and it became a rebuild. And so they took a first-year head coach, which the idea of him was to don't rock the boat, essentially do what he's doing the last 3 months, which is keep guys going, motivated, playing on a day-to-day. Developing the defensive end of the floor in a defensive mentality with guys that they knew were offensive-minded players, right? That was why they brought him in. And then they strip it down to the studs and give him a roster that there is not a coach in the NBA that could have won with because they weren't even trying to win and they weren't even hiding the fact they weren't trying to win. What we've seen over the last few months, though, is you're seeing a coach who he had to pivot the way that he coached, which he was learning on the fly because he'd only been an assistant for a year, and he has started to squeeze that talent out of guys. Are they good? No. Does he make mistakes? Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does. But I don't think he deserves the rap that a lot of Blazer fans give him. Like you said in your bold comment, he's not the best coach in the NBA.
No.
But he's far cry from the worst coach in the NBA. A far cry. And he has done a lot to get this team to the point where now fans are mad that they're winning too many games.
And
which one do you want?
The whole like criticism of like, he put Scoot on the bench, he put Shaden on the bench, he put two on the bench, rah, rah, rah. Every single guy that he has said, I need you to be better, has been better. He has gotten through to these guys. He has got them to give a damn about the stuff that's not only important to the organization right now, but is going to be important to those players going forward.
Yeah.
He has a level of respect and a rapport and a communication with those guys that a lot of coaches in the league don't have. And it's, I said this when he was still struggling early on.
Yeah.
Look, man, the X's and O's stuff, some of the finer point stuff, he's still got to work through. He's got to get better at it. There's no doubt about that. But even then, I said this same damn thing. He gets through to these guys. They respect him. They play hard for him. And, you know, it's hard to see in the day-to-day when you're watching games as opposed to being there every day and seeing behind the scenes kind of what was going on when they're losing by 60. And I fully get that. But do I think that they're going to bring him back? No.
Nah.
But here's what's changed. They're going to have a discussion.
Yeah.
They're going to have a discussion. And they should.
They should.
And that's fair.
Yeah. Remember remember that report last year? He almost took the Phoenix job. There was a report out there before they hired Budenholzer.
Kevin Durant and Devin Booker both pushed hard.
That's crazy.
Before they hired Budenholzer. So Budenholzer had basically, behind the scenes, had for the most part taken the job, and he was putting a staff together. And when KD and Book heard, they were like, no, we want CB.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to make overtures and tried to make that happen. But Ishbia was going to go with Budenholzer and James Jones. That was the call they were going to make. Now, there's been reports out there. John Gambadoro, who does radio in Phoenix, has said that, that if they do fire Bud, which I very much think is going to happen, that they want to go to a coach that has a good relationship with players.
All right.
So,
well,
for what it's worth, that's certainly out there.
I don't know if giving Kevin Durant and Devin Booker exactly what they want is the best idea, though.
Well, I would imagine Kevin Durant will not be a part of that going forward.
Yeah. Well, Matt Ishbia said there's one guy who won't be traded.
Mm.
Devin Booker. Definitely not.
Ah, yes, the old vote of confidence and committing to each other.
Well,
never seen that happen before.
You never know.
Well, yeah, when you have to publicly say that, it definitely means things are going great.
It is, yeah. Mm. That means things are going swimmingly. All right, so that's why you yelled at Rust. That was fun for me.
Yeah.
I just sat there.
See, now, my thing is, I've made it clear from Jump Street that I was not a fan of the hire originally.
Would it be 21?
Yeah, okay. 21, and then 22.
Mm.
Yeah. I didn't like, because he was brought here on a team that had Damian Lillard as its leader, and we were expected to still be trying to contend or push to contend. Right?
Yes.
And we, because I'm wearing a jersey.
You are.
Sorry. And part of it, what I didn't like about that whole situation was that they held on to Neil Olshey so long, and we knew that he was a lame duck, yet they still let him hire his buddy, and then they go and fire Neil. So now we're here with Chauncey, with a guy who is mainly a TV personality with 1 year of experience on a bench.
A Hall of Fame NBA playing resume.
Yes. Well, yeah. Great. Same with Magic Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Chauncey Billups, better than Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Yes.
But anyway, and then the Blazers pivoted, changed direction.
Yeah.
And so we go through the last couple, 3 years, which is unfortunate because with all of that turmoil and turnover and just outright tanking, we still didn't really know what we had with Chauncey as a coach.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think Chauncey knew what he had as a coach, because that's the thing is, like, as a coach, you just have to get the experience.
And so,
unless you're so bad out of the gate, a la Milwaukee with what happened there and Doc being brought in, when it's that bad, that's when you're like, okay, we need to pull this plug immediately.
Well, so we get to this season where, you know, still supposed to be a tankopotamus. And we get to, there seems to be a little bit relying too much on the veterans. I know we're up against it here, so I'll try to make it quick.
Mm-hmm.
Playing the vets like JG too much and still getting 36, 37, 38 minutes out of JG.
Because they won too much. Well, they're winning too much.
We need, the whole point is to try to figure out what we got from the young guys. And I understand Danny's point in that they need to earn their spot out on the floor. But also, in my opinion, they need to be on the floor to be able to earn those spots. And we take the last couple months and they had that big burst, right? And to me, when it comes to using these last couple months as a snapshot, it's almost like looking at an NFL head coach or a college football head coach and basing their future on whether or not they win this next game or two games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they lose this one, they're fired. If they win, we're still in. You know what I mean?
I get you.
And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's like, well, why is it all of a sudden now this? And if we do see this flurry from these young guys, then why is it not then time to go and find a coach that is a proven developer of young talent?
But I think that that's the crux of the issue, is that he is proving to develop this talent
over these last couple months,
and they buy into what he is doing.
I'd say over
they weren't
the last
ready
2 years.
Before, though.
Yeah, that's
they
the thing
weren't
is
ready.
Like, this idea, that, and again, I'm not hitting you with this, Russ, but like the idea that minutes equals development, it's not real. It's not.
Well, but there is still an argument that guys need live bullets.
Let's pause this because we do need to. I'm producing now. Mm. Who's the captain now? I am. Let's pause this and we'll get to it on the other side. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.